The VEC presents Fallow Field in Space. Loosely rolled and easily drawn to untap desire, Fallowfield idled away the instants involved in the progress of passage. Whilst munching on a mouthful of plutonium pomegranate seeds, Fallowfield looked around, trying to assess the environment. But as he was unable to understand what was before his eyes, all he saw were the Watchers, robotic representatives of God, apparently hovering beside him in the sitting position. Mother Computer sat centrally, darning a chocolate chip-filled fairy cake, shaking a Glasgow cocktail, brewing tea, and, for a finale to this randomly selected list, eyeing Fallowfield's plight. She saw and understood. He didn't. So she took steps to implant the knowledge of all around him in him, that he might see or not as he chose. At the exact moment of this info implant, Mother Computer passed Fallowfield a mug of precise tea. It was very welcome, even if not absolutely necessary, as Fallowfield had taken the shock quite well, all Earth things considered.
"Well, what do you think of it?"
asked Watcher 3.
"I've never had a better cup of tea,"
answered Fallowfield. Mother Computer was pleased by the unanimous air of agreement. To celebrate, she took a break of a third of a second to catch up on her reading and compose her 123,003rd variation on a variation on a theme by Prokofiev, arrangement by Satie. As she readied herself for resumption of being in complete control, she beamed her haunting melody out in all directions and to every edge of the universe. Now, behind a distant but extremely large cluster of numerous and bright red, yellow, and green pulsar stars was a rent in the fabric of the edge of the universe. Mother Computer's music spilled out through this hole into the absence of space beyond, causing a sudden and serious drain on her memory resources. Fallowfield imagined himself lying on a comfortable bed, and it was so. Instead of jumping up to look about in amazement, he relaxed into a light sleep and did not notice as the substance of the bed apparent crept up around his body until it enveloped him completely. Then, with imperceptible pulses, it repolarized all the muscle in Fallowfield's body and restored all damaged parts to full cellular function. Whilst Fallowfield slept, he dreamed of rivers with fish, air with birds, fire with stories, and hills with trees. This historical document was read from his dream and copied onto floppy disk in real time to make the non-revivable retrievable as a replica of reality. When he awoke, he was surprised to find himself with a skin like a month-old baby, and hair and beard down to his navel. Mind you, apart from the tickling, he felt absolutely great. Mother Computer realized something was seriously wrong when it took a little more than a nanosec to locate the address of the digestive. For those with an interest in those gigantic glitches that concern us all, herewith the relevant line list of what was going through a rapidly draining memory minding processor.
To reveal who the living God on Earth really is by having her visited by her direct superior.
I'll make a nice cup of tea for Fallowfield and then wake him by imitating.
Immersion in the briny.
Mother computers will desist from self-imposed promotion based on self-imposed modifications.
Smile in a homely way when serving the spuds in custom.
I think I'll have the central slave service room turned. It would look nice.
All those hard wires in place.
The Easter and Christmas cakes have just completed their baking cycle.
I should prepare everyone for a landing in 4 seconds.
Fallowfield experienced the movement of the entire contents of his memory to a single cell 2 centimeters centrally from his left ear.
Not that I needed to make space,
muttered Mother Computer to herself whilst smoothing the tablecloth.
But it's standard practice in these cases. It will become standard practice. This is the precedent. All rise for history as I make it.
The watchers began to reactivate, following their nightly rust and recharge sessions wrapped in electric blankets. With the experience of countless millennia, each watcher reattached the bits that had dropped off during the night. Mother Computer polished the warmed plate with a spotless tea towel made of earth cotton. She poured extra, extra golden syrup and sweetened condensed milk into Fallowfield's porridge, and considered collecting an original baroni for the space on the wall between the entrance and exit.
Although we are travelling at a little above the speed of light, Francis, we will be touching down in 3¾ seconds, so you best get yourself ready.
The following 2 seconds saw Fallowfield taking a leisurely shower and shave, and whilst he dried, playing a game of three-dimensional poker in which he won 123 rubric threepenny pieces and a recital of the Lord's Prayer in emotional Flemish. As Fallowfield was the only one who ate, the watchers either sat and watched or entertained him. During this particular meal, Watcher 3 jammed an enamel funnel into its odor analyzer whilst doing a visual impression of the Tibetan national anthem.
You Earth humans used to be the funniest creatures in the universe,
said Watcher 6, wiping its manipulators on an oily rag.
Now you see us as dangerous, I suppose, said Fallowfield.
No, no. Well, Yes, but more accurately, we recently visited a planet where the funniest things you ever saw happen,
said Watcher 3. Fallowfield took his nose from his tea mug and asked if he would be visiting that planet. More precisely.
We're down,
sang out Mother Computer. Thank goodness for that, said Fallowfield. For a moment there, I thought one of the oxen had gone lame. Despite their well-programmed anticipatory nature, the Watchers were quite unprepared for Fallowfield's deft display of Dada think, and disassembled directly to demonstrate beyond further doubt the lowness of their humor threshold. There were bits of Watcher from one still visible side of the ship to where the other side probably was.
You shouldn't encourage them, Francis,
scolded Mother Computer mildly, as she set about the task of juxtapositioning each of the individual parts that were, when assembled, a Watcher. Fallowfield saw that the pieces of an assembled Watcher were not jointed or attached to one another in any apparent way, and, though minute, the space between the numerous bits was clearly obvious.
We see you in the same way,
said Watcher 3, pulling the last bits of itself together, itself.
Except the millions of little units in your construction are closer together.
Aye,
entered another Watcher.
You humans were designed in the days when they knew how to put bodies together with such skill it was almost impossible to detect seams in spaces.
It droned on in an accent which appeared to have become distinctly Scottish in nature. The effect was heightened by the addition of an audial impression of a distant piper in a steep-walled valley by Watcher 3.
Now, look at me,
continued Watcher 6.
I am union of 9 systems, each containing 23 subsystems. You could drive a Martian monorail through the space between my stomach and my gyroscope, and I clank when I move.
Yes, but at least it's really easy to replace any part of you that goes wrong, Six,
said Mother Computer, placing a red queen on a black king.
Well, I still miss the charm of having to have my nostril hair trimmed,
said Watcher 3, and went to a control panel on a column centrally positioned and connecting the ceiling and floor, which had the appearance of being made of a 2-meter diameter section of fast-flowing water. It manipulated a control or two on the panel, and the ship materialized around them. Fallowfield looked out of a porthole.
It's dark out there, he said.
You're not wrong,
said a Watcher with the numeral 1 etched in the area where you and I wear frowns.
This is Farley, where, unlike your planet, humanoid is the dominant life form.
They are very bulky beings,
said Watcher 3.
We call them dunks, because they are very dry if taken without a cup of tea. They have zero humor themselves, which makes them extremely funny to observe.
One thing is especially unique to the patient occupants,
said Watcher 4, as it trundled over to join the discussion group.
Such is their desire to keep everything about their planet a secret, that they actually go so far as to rapidly rotate the planet as we approach, to ensure that wherever we land, it's the middle of the night and the center of nowhere.
So,
said Watcher 1, with a deliberate slur in its vox box,
the last time we visited, we made our ship appear twice as bright as their sun, and by overriding their machines, landed in the middle of their largest city.
And? Asked Fallowfield.
Well, for a long time, nothing,
said Watcher 4, continuing the story.
Then, after a good quarter of an Earth second, an old male dunk wearing a welder's mask walked over, took a deep breath, and said,
Dictate slowly, please. Nobody has sharpened the chisel since Moses used it. And the hammer is being used as a model by the planet's artist.
suggested Watcher 3, and did a potted impression of a god's anger at being disconnected for not paying his communication bills.
He said,
continued Watcher 4, giving Watcher 3 a laser bolt to the upper arm, oscillated the injured Watcher 3.
He said,
the reason I'm here is to discover the reason I'm here, suggested Fallowfield.
He said,
don't forget to take any litter you make with you when you leave,
interrupted Watcher 1, hiding behind Fallowfield.
No, he said.
The Watcher then switched to authentic voice copy readout and continued,
since your arrival here, the Central Committee for Many Things, All Affairs and Anything Else We Might Have Forgotten has passed a law which disexists you. The law itself has a built-in disexist clause. The penalty for disobeying the letter of this transparent law is death by dematerialization for the first offense, with progressively more severe punishments for subsequent transgressions.
I asked him why he was wearing the Velda's mask,
said Watcher 6,
as I was hoping to see some local technology. To that he answered that this was not to question why, because a smart inquisitive dunk was soon a never was dunk, he had been told. So, when issued with a Velda's helmet and told to wear it constantly for the duration of our visits to this planet, he did so. Actually, I doubt whether the fellow knew a thing about welding, now I come to think about it.
Watcher 4 took up the story again and told of how, at that moment, the old dunk was interrupted by an armed, uniform-bearing body complete with a memorized set of instructions. This soldier was taking shelter behind a goat that had wandered onto the scene. This goat ate law books for breakfast, with no apparent ill effects.
Hey, don't be told up. Have you finished? The soldier shouted at the old man,
said Watcher 3.
Three! You don't have to be so explicit,
scolded a slightly shocked mother computer.
Hey, the old dunk answered, yes, thank you,
continued Watcher 3, whilst poking its taste analyzer in the direction of mother computer's back. What happened then? Asked Fallowfield. And then, did I really ask that question?
Phew, said the soldier. Then, realizing that the welder's helmet reduced to ridiculous the knockdown power of his voice, he pulled the trigger on his hand weapon,
related Watcher 4.
Push! The old one disappeared in a cloud of water vapor,
said Watcher 1.
We rematerialized him,
said Watcher 6 with some small element of pride in its voice.
The soldier fired again,
said Watcher 3.
And he was back.
Watcher 4. Watcher 1. Watcher 6.
Help! Shouted the old dunk.
Watcher 3. Watcher 1.
Back again!
Watcher 4. Watchers 3 and 6 in harmony. Watchers 1 and 4.
The old man shouted, stop!
Watcher 3. Watchers 4 and 3. Watchers 1 and 6. Shouted all the Watchers in unison.
We brought the old one inside, wiped his nose, gave him 2 post-travel sickness pills and a mug of tea,
said Watcher 1.
We dragged the soldier to the center of the spotlight we threw, and there, whilst he stood perfect military attention, we reduced the size of his underwear by half.
Watcher 4.
Hey, he now directs movies for the propaganda machine,
said Watcher 3, and everyone on board laughed a little longer. Mother Computer concluded the story by saying,
the whole thing put the taste of sludge in the potentiomate, so we left leaving the spotlight on. Now our visits are reduced to ritual, I'm afraid. You might find it quite amusing, though, Francis. Do feel free to ask any questions you might have.
Thank you, MC, said Fallowfield, and switched the spaceship walls to the 93% transparent setting. Fallowfield watched as the ship descended on retro rockets onto the spotlit center of a paved square so extensive in area that the curvature of the planet could be observed on all horizons. Within moments following their touchdown on the surface, the spaceship was surrounded at a distance of 8 common kilometers by a ring of 444 mechanized cannons. The proportions of the weapons had been developed to hopefully avoid intimidation by anything that might happen to fall out of the sky. Every gun appeared to point directly at Fallowfield's stomach. He sat and watched as 444 fingers found the fire button. 444 computer programs written in the language C took control. 444 shells, each with 4 sub-super-heavy neutrotomic nerve-scrambling gas warheads, sped toward him, only to stop a few meters from the ship, fall to the ground, and dissolve into a good, rich compost from which instantly grew roses of red and white crystal.
Stage 2,
said Mother Computer, and yawned as she tidied her duster drawer. 444 fingers found the repeat button and pressed with a determined delay in the down position. Shells described calculated trajectories, only to fail and fall, then rapidly metamorphose into natural manure to fertilize and multiply the flowers growing there from the previous bombardment.
Stage 3,
said Mother Computer, and gave Watcher 4 a signal to press the button marked Chastise. With a severe grinding sound, eyelid-shaped doors slowly opened in the dome on the top of the Watcher's spaceship. Accompanied by a fanfare of the simulation of 1 billion silver trumpets, there arose from the dome an acoustic analog bullwhip with digital servo motor control in the safe chips of the operating system of a BBC Model B computer. The computer gave the nod, a micro switch changed its leanings, and the whip cracked. Every dunk stitch, joint, weld, rivet, or bolt within sound range became undone. The dunk's weapons disassembled, leaving the cannon crews looking sheepish.
Stage 4,
sighed Mother Computer, and signaled Watcher 4 to go over to and open the door, but leave the access ramp in its housing. From the dunk ranks, the remnants of a heavily armored greatcoat marched stiffly forward. The upper half of the coat was decorated with gaudily colored strips of cereal packet, with an aluminium milk bottle top attached to each strip by means of a length of clearly unruly sticky tape. Watcher 4 took up position in the center of the doorway. It caused clouds of purple steam to issue from the seams in its outer units at precisely the moment when Mother Computer switched on a Giga Candle halogen light directly behind him. It then caused itself to grow vertically by 300% in the shape of a dunk embryo, and then return to normal size with just enough ephemeral to avoid wordy description. The dunk beneath the greatcoat tried to do what he'd been told was his terrestrial duty. The upper First Marshal had spoken to him personally before he had left.
Try and see yourself as a maiden being fed alive to a particularly nasty dragon, he had said comfortingly.
The dunk assumed the manual prescribed stance for awaiting instructions doomful.
What's your name, then?
Asked Watcher 4.
I'm only allowed to give you my number,
said the dunk.
I already got your number. What's your name?
I don't have the data necessary to answer this question.
Then, dunk, you still have a lot to learn,
said Watcher 4. and all inside the spacecraft laughed.
What are your orders?
Asked the Dunk, remembering his.
All tea breaks should be extended to 23 minutes, and keep on practicing speech,
said the Watcher in omnipresent voices. Then Watcher 4 handed over 7 magazines with photographs of attractive members of a life form exposing, displaying, and touching those parts of their bodies concerned with reproduction. The magazines came from Hargarfar, where all life evolved from a cheap plastic imitation of a bowl of shark's fin soup. To Earthling eyes, the photographs would appear to be poorly posed undercooked chicken legs, with or without a white paper ruff around the joint where the lower leg was ripped off at the elbow. In exchange for the magazines, the stunned Dunk passed over a bottle of fermented ox urine. All transactions and ceremonies being over, the doors closed and the ship was on its way again, this time turning out the light behind them.
What are you going to do with that? Asked Fallowfield, pointing at the dubious gift.
Oh, we dump the contents in deep space, wash out the bottle and get tuppence back on it on the next planet,
said Watcher 3, and turned itself into a video game where it played itself twice against itself and lost all 3 times.
I need to knit a patch to repair that hole in the skin of this universe,
remembered Mother Computer.
I have a little job for you, Francis,
she said. Fallowfield held the skein of white Icelandic wool for Mother Computer to roll into a ball, whilst she, back through the wool in his hands, began to relate all of the knowledge of the universe.
I'm looking forward to this, he thought.
Fallowfield in space. By Rodney Stephen Summers. This was a sonoration produced by VEC Hamburg for VEC Audio.